The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died good riddance. That man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they just turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you who don't know the pain, the government was slinging out them old cane. And bullets of propaganda was...
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is January 15, 2016. Today is a Friday afternoon. Before I tell you about what's coming up for today's program, we do have a guest scheduled for you. But yesterday we were supposed to speak with Mr. T. West. Come on, Scotty, get your brain to working. We were supposed to speak with Mr. T. West, and there was a mix-up on the time, and so I heard from him last night. So we're going to try to reschedule him, but it will probably be a video interview where we will be on camera and conduct that interview about Hillary Clinton's emails. And I do have some new news in relation to Hillary Clinton's emails to share later after we conduct our interview. So again, you know, I knew it was something that was, you know, up with Mr. T. West not being able to join us, and he just had a mix up with the time zones. Also, Tando Radio Show will be on air today. They will be, Brother Dave will be back on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So just wanted to give you an update on those things. Now, today we are scheduled to speak with a filmmaker, award-winning film director, and I'm probably going to mess up her name, and she can correct me when she comes on, but we are supposed to speak with award-winning film director Didi Harlev Johnson, who grew up in Maputo, Mozambique, and we will be discussing with her the Afropop TV series. And apparently what this is like a documentary series that comes on the World Channel. So I never heard of the World Channel, so I will check to see if we have that through our services, our cable services, to see if we have the World Channel. But apparently this is going to be a series of documentaries from different locations around the world. Afropop is the ultimate cultural exchange, entering into season number 8. Now, Afropop shares compelling stories of human joys, challenges, and struggles. With 5 new episodes, the season takes viewers on journeys through the eyes of immigrants hoping to find new homes, steel band musicians from around the world at a pan festival in Trinidad, and 6 Oakland figures whose lives connect one Friday at an art and cultural showcase. a transgender woman who transforms her community, and two shorts that explore the impact youth are having as they envision a new future for themselves and their communities. Now, you can also, I believe, find Afropop on YouTube as well. I think the name of it is, where you can find out more, is NBPC. That's N as in Nancy, B as in boy, P as in purpose, and C as in cat. So that's NBPC. It's the YouTube channel where you can find out about some of these upcoming episodes that will be on Afropop, the Ultimate Cultural Exchange. And so our scheduled guest, I believe that, and she will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the one film that she produced has to do with the Pan, the drum festival in Trinidad, the Pan Festival in Trinidad. So I could be mistaken, but I'm sure she will correct me if I am mistaken about that. Now, after we speak to our guests, I just want to go into some of the news of the day. I want to take a look at this story from RT America. Arizona State Senator, who's a former cop, is creating a bill that will limit the filming of police. And I can't remember how many times I have stated that the federal courts have already ruled that it is a citizen's First Amendment right to record public servants, and that includes police. You know, you can record them within reason, long as you're not interfering with the conduct of their so-called duties and whatnot. So, of course, there's some pushback against that. We've seen similar bills introduced in states like Missouri, where Ferguson is located, where, I mean, what's the problem with these people? If you're not doing anything wrong, then why do you feel like you should worry about citizens recording you while you out there in the streets? So we want to take a look at that story. Also, yesterday I talked about Hillary Clinton's emails that revealed the true motives for the United States, France, specifically France, and the UK as well, and they're all part of NATO, why they overthrew Libya, why they assassinated Muammar Gaddafi. And we talked about his proposal to the African Union to create a African currency that would be backed by the gold dinar, and that would immediately replace the American dollar as one of the top currencies being used for world trade, because it would intrinsically, as I like to hear Dave say that word, be more valuable, provide more valuable, because it would be backed by natural resources, gold of Africa. So that's the real reason now. But she's looking at it possibly, as we talked about yesterday as well, being arrested and charged before, you know, a ballot is even cast. Well, maybe not in the primaries. You got two early primaries, Iowa and New Hampshire. But there was a report from a guy on Fox News we shared yesterday, a former prosecutor, a former U.S. attorney who apparently has some contacts and has some sources in relation to the investigation that Hillary Clinton is under. And I mean, it's starting to expand. I'm finding out more information about, you know, corruption in the State Department, and that people who donated a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation also wound up with big dollar contracts through the State Department. So this thing is really blowing up. So I want to talk about some of the details of that. Let's see, what else could we share? Ethiopia. I didn't know that Ethiopia, that you had a lot of mass protests going on, and they are bloody protests, meaning that you have Ethiopian security forces who are killing people, man. They're killing. And most of these are like student protesters and whatnot. And what the protesters are protesting about is, I guess, what we would call here in America, eminent domain. It says that they fear the expansion of Addis Ababa, I guess that's a city or a town in Ethiopia. Seems like I recall hearing about that city, but it would they're worried about it forcing a displacement of Oromo farmers without adequate compensation. So it's also spread. The protest focus has also expanded to also cover, you know, government abuses of the people. They've been shooting. Some of these security forces been shooting these protesters, and the protesters are unarmed. So this is like, man, the world is a battlefield. All right, I do think that we are being joined by our guests. Welcome to Black Talk Radio, Ms. Johnson.
Hi, thank you.
Good to speak to you. Now, help me out with my pronunciations as I talk to different people. And I'm just a country boy here in North Carolina. So how do I pronounce your name? Is it Ditte Harlow Johnson?
There are so many ways of pronouncing it, depending on where in the world you're from. But from where I am from in Denmark, we say Ditte Harlow Johnson. Yeah.
Ditte.
Ditte, yeah.
Ditte Harlow Ditte. Johnson. So yeah. You wouldn't mind me just referring to you as Miss Johnson, would you?
You can call me whatever you want.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Ditte is fine too.
All right. Well, I have been sharing some of the information earlier in the broadcast about Afropop. Mm-hmm. The Ultimate Cultural Exchange season number 8. So can you explain to us what that is about? What my interpretation and what I shared with the listeners was that this is like a series of documentaries from different places in the world. And I imagine that individual documentary makers or filmmakers are submitting, or they have, you know, are part of this series.
Mm-hmm. That is totally correct. Each Monday, starting from Monday the 18th, documentary will feature on the Afropop TV show on the 18th at 8 p.m. It will be the film that I made, which is called Days of Hope, which is about people that migrate from Africa to Europe the illegal way. Mm-hmm. Seen from there. Their perspective, no? And then there are various other very interesting films from other places across the African diaspora. There's a film from the Cape Verde Islands and many other places.
You know, that's right on time that we will be able to speak to you about your documentary that looks at the migration of Africans into Europe, because that's a subject that we were talking about earlier this week as well as last week. Because, you know, I don't know, you know, if you're paying attention to what goes on here in the United States with a presidential, you know, well, they're trying to get the nominations. Both of the major parties are nominating their candidates, and Donald Trump is leading the Republican in the polls for that Republican nomination, and immigration has been central to his campaign. He just rolled out his first campaign ad talking about, you know, not allowing Muslims to immigrate here.
I heard it, and hearing something like that sounds completely ridiculous from where I stand and from where many people stand that I know. But I have to admit, Europe is going pretty much the same way, maybe not as extreme. The United States was always better at the extremism, but nevertheless, that's the way that it's going here too.
So Days of Hope, before I ask you some questions overall about immigration, tell us some of, you know, the plot of Days of Hope.
A documentary film, as the other films on the show will always also be. It takes place in three different countries along the way of this route of migration. So I filmed in Mauritania on the coast of West Africa, in a little desert country, but by the Atlantic Ocean, called Nouadhibou, where many, many people from all over West Africa gather and try to find a way to get to Europe. Mostly, I mean, people were crossing with the little boats to the Canary Islands, but then the sea was closed, and now the route is more going through the Sahara Desert, which is even more deadly dangerous and not something that is so often spoken about. And then from Morocco to Italy, Sicily. So that is where I went after Nouadhibou. I went to Sicily there, and I filmed in an asylum center amongst people that had just arrived, and filming, you know, their hopes and still also the realization of the fact that Europe was maybe not the promised land that they were hoping for, and seeing themselves as being pretty much locked up in this asylum center. So there's sort of a facing the reality, but still some hope going on. And then I filmed also in Copenhagen, which is where I live in Denmark. Amongst the people that have gone then from Southern Europe to Scandinavia. So African migrants that have been in Europe for some years and still haven't gotten anywhere, still have a lot of trouble having to send money home to the family every month and basically living in the streets, surviving from collecting bottles. And also there is, wow. I mean, there's both the men and the women. So I followed, of course, it's mainly men migrating, but there are also women, and most of the women that I met were in the prostitution area. So that's also, a line that's talked about and people we meet doing this business in the film.
Yeah. Wow, that's just really sad, really sad. I had just read an article about Europe overall might have had about 1 million migrants out of Africa in 2015. Do you know if that number is accurate?
I don't know, because I'm not so much a statistic person. I mean, I make films because I care about the human being. I'm curious about the many different ways of living and lives that one can have. So I don't know so much about the numbers, but I know there are a lot, and I know that life here is really, really miserable. I mean, people, you know, there are no boats going back from Europe to Africa, but I'm sure if there was, many people would wish to go back home. But it is complicated, because it's also a big shame to come home empty-handed, you know, and people just, I mean, there is no possibility of getting any money in this Europe as it is.
Now, some of the stories that I have seen in 2015 included a story of a African descendant man. He was in Germany, and he is said allegedly was killed by anti-immigrant, you know, protesters, and that the language there was like, you know, just really extreme and demonizing of these people. Have you seen any violence against these immigrants where you live in Denmark, or
No, not so much Denmark, but I mean the state of the politicians is very violent, the way that they are now making rules that are very, I mean, I would say almost outspokenly racist, no? But maybe Denmark is still a little bit more peaceful than Germany. I mean, this thing of Africans being assaulted, I've heard about in Germany all the way since the 80s, when I was living in Mozambique, where I grew up, and many migrant workers were there because of the socialist regime, no? Already then they were being attacked. So there is more of a racism story going on in Germany, to my knowledge. But I see the African migrants here in Denmark being discriminated nevertheless, no? I mean, they do live in, I mean, they sleep in the streets. It's winter here, you know, there is snow, and they still have to sleep in the parks, and they are being harassed by the police all the time, stalking them, you know, demanding papers, and there are all these rules that if they don't have enough money, then they'll be, you know, deported. So it's definitely no easy life. From the sort of institutional level, it's being made very difficult.
You know, here in America, you know, the immigration issue, and it's not just concerns about immigration that's coming from what we call the right wing or the Republican Party or your Donald Trumps. That's one segment. But then you have other what we will call oppressed groups. Like, I'm a member of an oppressed group. Some of us refer to ourselves as just simply black. Some of us refer to ourselves as African Americans, but you know, we have some depressed communities here in the United States, and there are some concern that with the migrants coming in, that you know they're going to take our jobs or the very few jobs that are here, you know, available in the United States, and you know, just really concerned. They're not so much coming from a place of hate, but a concern about the already scarce resources in these communities, and then you have these immigrants coming in. So this is my take on it, and I like to, you know, get you to comment on this, but you know, in relation to where you are. But this is what I said last week to those in my community with that concern, is that, you know, well, actually I was like, okay, humans do tend to identify with their own ethnic, cultural, or religious groups. They tend to have more empathy for them than other people. So I said, take a look at those immigrants in Africa. You know, you got immigrants dying by the boatload trying to get out of Africa. And now Libya has been destabilized, so they can't even stop off in Libya. You know, so I was like, do you have empathy for those people? And I'm like, why are these people leaving their home countries? You know, whether it's South America, whether it's Africa. And I came to the conclusion is that they're leaving because of corporations, multinational corporations, and U.S. government policies, if we're talking about South America, have destabilized their home countries, whether it's exploiting them, whether it's the drug war violence and whatnot, imposing a drug war on these nations, even if they want to legalize drugs to destroy the cartels business model. And so I'm like, you know, you shouldn't be angry with them. You should be angry with the corporations and the U.S. government policies that's destabilizing their home countries and forcing them to come here. I look at them as refugees. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Of course, it's hard to come back on such a long speech, Scotty. But I might be a bad debater because I really, really, really agree with you. I don't have so much to add. I mean, except that, of course, nobody flees because they think it's fun. I mean, nobody risks their life because of the fun of it. I mean, these people are fleeing. They are leaving Africa because they have serious problems there. And those problems, as I see it, I mean, of course, they arrive. I mean, if you want to go down to the root, I think it's capitalism. No, it's. I mean, as you say, multinational companies. It's the U.S. It's from Europe, from Australia, wherever that are sticking their deep, how do you call it, hands into the earth, the soil, taking out the natural resources of Africa, which is the richest continent in this world, more or less, on natural resources, but it's not coming to the good for the people, no? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they had a choice, people wouldn't leave. But, I mean, if you see your children going to bed hungry every day, and if you see that the life that you can give them is there is no future, basically, no? I mean, then of course you will try to do something. That's the human nature. And I understand that, I mean, being in a position where one is, as you say, a minority that's being also, that's having a hard time, that's being discriminated upon, of course, I mean, one is more vulnerable and there is more fear that this very vulnerable position will even become worse. No, so I can understand that people are worried, but one should start seeing these people coming as a resource also. That's what I think. I mean, these people can do many good things, and we can do many good things together. And you know, the world is as it is, it's a totally unjust place. That's why I make my films, to sort of put focus onto that. But as long as it is, we have to see the common humanity in us all. No, we have to welcome the people that are coming. Building bigger walls will not be a solution at all. It will only make more people lose their lives on the way. And then, I mean, if you really want to take this standpoint of building walls to an extreme, then I just want to reference the Catholic priest that was working at the monastery, the church where I was staying in Wadibou. He was a Nigerian pastor, very, very cool and wise man, doing a lot of work for the migrants there. He said, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, closing borders to Europe. What about closing the borders to Africa? What about, he said, no white people come into Africa, you know? I think that would be the solution to many problems. And I really must agree with him, you know?
Yeah, I certainly can identify with that remark, because it goes back to, you know, you mentioned capitalism as being a problem, and I do pay attention to what goes on in Africa. I think it was last year or maybe a couple of years ago in South Africa at the Lome Mines, what we call the Lome Mine Massacre. Where workers went on strike for higher pay, and the security forces were called out on them, and they actually killed some of them workers. And so, you know, that was a European corporation that was running that mine. And I was just talking about that yesterday, you know, about, you know, the corporations going in and destabilizing these places and stealing the natural resources. And like you said, it's not going back to the people. So again, I would say to people, if you're angry about other refugees coming to your country, well, maybe you need to be putting pressure on your government and these corporations to change their policies of exploitation in these people's land. So tell us, when does your specific documentary come on? Do you know what date Days of Hope will come on?
Yeah, it will actually kick off the whole season on the 18th, which I do believe is the Martin Luther King National Holiday, on Monday, this Monday, basically.
This Monday.
And it's at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
And that channel is the world. Is it a cable channel, world channel?
It's World Channel. It's World Channel, yeah.
Well, I will. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to see, it's the National Black Programming Consortium, NBPC, which is doing this.
Okay, well, I definitely will, in our podcast, link to the YouTube channel that you just mentioned, the NBPC, but I will also check our cable listings to see if I can find World Channel, because this is the first I've heard of it, and it sounds like it has some very interesting content that would allow people to see things on an international level instead of, you know, just seeing the world through a very narrow lens. So I want to thank you for joining us and speaking with us about these very important issues. And did you have anything in closing that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I want to thank you, Scotty, for having me in your show, and also just say to people that I'd be very happy if you want to see the film. It's an important one, and basically that's it for now.
All right, Miss.
A big thank you. Yeah.
Yes, Miss Johnson, you're very welcome, and I wish you much success in your film career. And you know, I'm gonna be looking out for this documentary, because it's something that I think is very important, and a very important people issue. You have a great. I don't know what time it is there where you are in Denmark.
Pretty late.
Pretty late. All right. So I'm gonna say good morning to you.
Thanks. Take care, Scotty.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, that concludes our interview with Ms. Johnson, and it is very important, I think, that we put ourselves in the shoes of others. And I know my community, you know, not the community I live in specifically, but the wider diaspora, especially here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., the black community. I know that our communities are struggling. Tavis Smiley, you know, has been on the news lately and talking about his book, and as well as other people just talking about in the past 7 years how black people here in the United States have just been doing poorly in every area of people activity. I was looking at a CNN news clip about this school in Detroit, an elementary school. I mean, they should condemn that building. It was in such poor shape. You know, rats and stuff. And I mean, wow. I was like, I wouldn't even let my child go there. No heat in the building. They had to wear coats. This is America now. This supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, the most prosperous nation on the face of the planet, even though that's debatable because, you know, it seems they're basing their wealth off of how much wealth they can steal from other people. But I understand the challenges that our communities face, but we still should be able to have empathy, you know, for other people, for refugees, you know, and so I liken the refugees coming across of the southern border of the United States. I liken them to the African refugees that are escaping and escaping the poverty and the war zones in Africa. And I have empathy for them, you know, and again, the root problem is she mentioned capitalism. Other day, I had posted on Facebook when I was talking about Libya being overthrown, and Libya was described as a socialist country. Now, I don't get into all of these labels, socialism, communism, and whatever. You know, you can call the government whatever you want to call it, whatever name you want to put on it. It will make itself known whether or not it's a government for the people, by the people, or whether or not it's an oligarchy, you know, whether or not it is a corporate, you know, a corporate friendly country that allows corporations, you know, like here in the United States, to have their way, you know, with little regulation. And you complain about corporations here in the United States, just think about the stuff they're getting away with in these other countries, you know. And so I feel like the problem is who we need to be talking to is the federal government and calling for an end to these policies that are destabilizing people all over the world. The same corporations destabilize in countries, destabilizing Africa, are the same ones destabilizing South America. So we have a common enemy. I think we got a call, area code 267. This brother Ralph.
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother Scotty?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Just kind of out of sorts today, man. Been having technical issues, but we got things kind of running along now. But what's on your mind, bro?
Well, just what you were just talking about, Scotty, about our empathy. And I believe a lot of us do have empathy for other people in the struggle. Sometimes I believe we have too much. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why I'm saying this, Scotty. When you're on an airplane, and it says, you know, if an adult is sick next to a child and we have a lack of oxygen, you make sure you don your oxygen mask first.
Right.
Then you put it on the child.
Right.
Right now, a lot of people are surviving. You just gave a perfect example of some of these schools out here.
Right, right.
Lead in the water and Flint.
Right.
You know, I mean, we got it, but, you know, we better have empathy on ourselves first. And, you know, and I understand where you're coming from. We hate to see people, man, I hate to see an animal suffer. But, man, when I take a good look at some of the people when I'm riding through my mother's neighborhood, I can look at them and tell they might not even have a quarter in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They might be looking to see where they can get their next meal from. And I'm just being honest with you, Scotty. I'm looking at how destroyed. And some of these people out there waving their Michelle Obama and Barack Obama signs, waving it, happy to see this thing in the White House. And he ain't betray our community. He told you exactly what he was going to do. He didn't put us on the list at all. And then you have those Boulay members. Mm-hmm. And I want you to suggest something to your listeners too, Scott.
Go ahead. You on air right now.
Man,
tell them to go
to YouTube and listen to this brother, Steve Coakley.
I just said that the other day.
He tells you exactly where these traitors come from. They've always been in the mix. And the Boulay is nothing but black people that are advisors to the king.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then, you know, and he said something else, Scott. He was talking about that blue wall of flour.
Mm-hmm.
But he equated that with that blue house. Most of your black police officers are Masons.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where it comes from, man. These people are, it's just a script that we've always followed. You know, he tells you who the white supremacist is. He just don't get on there like Neely Fuller and others that say white supremacy. He tells you who they are and how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a fad now, ever since Hidden Colors, white supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy. But no. Yeah, behind white supremacy, there's flesh and blood.
Your name.
You know what I mean?
Name.
It's not the toothless alcoholic living in a trailer park.
No, it's not.
There are people. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, we got to, like, get our minds. I mean, yeah, it's a system. But there are people behind this system.
Right. Bilderbergers. The Bilderbergers, the British Crown, the, you know, some of these families like the Bush family, they got old money going all the way back to England from the slave trade and you know.
Bush can't even touch some of these people, Scotty.
Yeah, I know he can't. Hey, but don't sleep on his dad, though. Don't sleep on his dad.
Yeah, that's true. And don't sleep on Dick Cheney and his family, who Barack Obama is a relative of.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, there's some stuff here, man. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff here. And that clown wasn't that White House to do exactly what he did. Don't think he's a helpless pawn. He went in there to do what he had to do. I didn't even watch that State of the Union speech. Everybody was telling me, oh, it was terrible. He didn't mention nothing about the police brutality or the assault.
No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
He was the one that gave those police officers, he gave them permission when he had that beer summit with the guy that harassed his friend. Right then and there, he said, police, you do what you want to him. I don't even care if it's Henry Gates, who's supposed to be a friend of mine. I'll have a beer with you after it's all over.
You know, but
set us up, man.
Getting back to this immigration thing, though, but see, like I had mentioned, we as the black community are not coming from a place of hate. We're coming from a place of concern because we already struggling for resources and whatnot. But the people that's coming from a place of hate, like them right wingers, the Trumps, and then the people, the Europeans over there in Europe, you know, she was talking about in Denmark where she's from, the racism, the racist rhetoric towards these African immigrants. And so I'm saying, if you want, not the politicians, but the people who are angry about African immigrants, or, you know, you one of these right wing Trump supporters angry about all these people coming across the border, well, why don't you get angry about the policies that's destabilizing their countries, destroying their countries, and making them come here?
Well, Scotty, as far as immigrants, let me tell you something. Nikki Haley, you know what I mean? Man, some of those Indian people that come over here from India are just as racist as
talking about those type of immigrants.
So, you know, I'm very careful with my empathy.
Yeah, no, Brother Ralph, let me clarify.
Over here with the idea of stepping on us just as much as the Europeans.
Let me clarify.
So, that's what I'm saying. We got to be very careful with our empathy.
Yeah, let me clarify. I wasn't talking about those who come here, quote unquote, legally. I ain't talking about those documents. I'm talking about the poor people. I mean, I've been in Mexico. My cousin has been to, where was that he went to? I can't remember. And a lot of these, you know, countries, man, it's terrible down there, man. Just think about this. You remember when all of those children came across that border without their parents? Your conditions must be something terrible for a mother to send her child across that border unaccompanied. Just think about that, man. So
think about that, Scotty. I was in Mexico, and the way they treat black Mexicans is unreal. So I have a little empathy on people that step on other people. And I'm telling you something. In Mexico, you look up those black Mexicans. They step on those black folk, make fun of them, have TV shows mocking them. So I'm very careful with my empathy, Scotty.
Yeah,
I see it. I go out Compton. When I went out Compton, California, man, they hate our guts too. And I'm talking about legal or illegal. We got to be very careful with our empathy, brother.
But the anger, you know what I mean? I feel like, should most directly be pointed at the source, the cause of it, the cause of them coming here. Why are they coming here?
Well, yeah, capitalism is the main thing. Well, you know, they say it's a world economy now. This country really doesn't have any borders. This really doesn't have it. It's a world economy. When China stock falls, this country falls. So, you know, there's a world economy. And this some of that white supremacy he's talking about. Look at the IMF. Look at them and what they're doing to these poor countries.
Yeah.
Look at the assault they just did to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brazil, oh, y'all want to go to BRICS? Okay, we'll make you suffer. They're talking about Brazil is about to go into a recession now.
Yeah, but
you
China...
You cannot mess with... Go ahead.
No, China, Tando Radio Show, I don't know how often you get to listen to Tando Radio Show, but they talk a lot about these sort of things. Brother Dave is very knowledgeable on it. And China is actually setting up a different financial, a global financial system. And they've been getting countries signing on to it. I mean, it's real complicated, but Brother Dave explains it in layman terms so that anybody can understand it. But China is actually working with a lot of other countries, man, to set up another world currency.
Brazil is starting to feel the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
IMF is nothing to play for in that central bank. Matter of fact, the central bank was behind the Civil War, the War of 1812, and a lot of other wars.
Right.
When it comes to money, the central bank is
we're talking about them Rothschilds, them white supremacists.
There you go. So, you know, watch that IMF. You know, like China think they're going to set up another currency, and they think they're going to have partners.
They've already started, man.
They're going to pluck off their partners bit by bit. These are some dirty scouts. These are some scandalous folks that can charge these financial institutions, brother.
But that's why Brother Dave was saying that people need to be preparing because this could break out into World War III at any moment over with all this stuff going on globally.
Right. Well, I think, you got Korea right now. Right now, United States is flying bombers around Korea right now ever since they tested the hydrogen bomb. So there could be some stuff that goes on there. And North Korea does not like China or Japan. So this thing could explode any time now. But, you know, just getting back to the mere survival of our folks that's living in these neighborhoods. I remember I went down Houston. Now you talk about how poor it is in Mexico. I remember I walked to one of them wards down in Houston, man.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was in you talk about huts. I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Yeah.
And I said, people live like this in the United States.
It's bad.
So, it's bad. It's bad. And I'm talking about these were huts. You know, they might not have no electric, might not have no gas, and just surviving, man. So, you know, I understand about having empathy. I don't want to see an animal mistreated. But I'm going to tell you, we better put that oxygen mask on first.
But this
that
is
maybe we can, and then once we can breathe, then maybe we can put that oxygen mask on.
Well, listen, this is my comments to them, and I made a series of videos where I speak to them directly, and I tell them, if you think you're coming here for an American dream, let me tell you, it's a nightmare. Don't think that it's the land of milk and honey, because it ain't. Because that's what they believe. They believe that its jobs are plentiful here. No, they not. And then I also talk about how they are being targeted, man. Do you know, we feel like these corporations, the private prison corporations, were behind a lot of the rumors about Obama's going to give amnesty. And that's why them women sent all their children up here unaccompanied. We feel like those rumors were started by the private prison companies that also run the immigration detention facilities. And that's $1 billion, you know, a multi-billion-dollar a year industry. And so they want that. That's why they'll never put a wall up. See, that's what them right wingers fail to understand. They want them people to come here because they're going to capture a portion of them and they're going to make money off of them, putting them in private prisons and putting them to work for slave wages if they pay them at all.
They sure are. They're going to put them right in them camps.
So that's what I tell them.
You hear what the sister said over there? The politicians is talking all this racist rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And the police are out there locking up and harassing immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing that's going to go on here.
Exactly.
It's the same thing that's going on.
So I tell them, Brother Ralph, we, yes, our government, we in the belly of the beast, and you know, most of the global problems can be traced to this government, which is, you know, basically the front for the most powerful white supremacists, the Bilderbergers, the Rothschilds, and, you know, the Zionists. Let's not forget the Zionists. And whatnot, but we need to take care of, we need to fight on our battlefield, and you need to stay where you are and fight on your battlefield. You right. need to be taking your leaders. I said this about Africa yesterday. Why them doggone cowards in Africa, all them leaders, stood by and watched Gaddafi and Libya be destroyed, and now it's come out through Hillary Clinton's emails that the reason they overthrew Libya is because of Gaddafi's proposal for the African yep. United Currency backed by gold, which would then, you know, the World Bank, the IMF, oh man, the Federal Reserve, the Rothschild.
Saddam Hussein, he was about to exactly. go to the euro.
And but I'm saying,
weapon of mass destruction.
But
he
I'm
about
saying,
to go to that euro and stop basing his economy on the dollar.
But I'm
and
saying
that was the weapon of mass destruction right there.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I'm saying to the people of Africa. You know, it's time out for giving these people a pass and making excuses for them. They ain't doing nothing but leading you into further oppression in this system, whether it's capitalism, racism, whatever ism you want to put on it. We know it's oppression. And for them African leaders, you know, the African Union has a pact for the mutual security of each nation as a member nation. And they stood by, man. They ain't try to intervene. They ain't even have no harsh words for, you know, they didn't say we'll go in and we'll make sure he ain't killing up a bunch of these jihadi racist Arabs, you know. But they didn't say a word, man, when that was going to benefit all of Africa.
Because of AFRICOM.
Because they cowards, that's why.
They're cowards. They're recolonized right now because of AFRICOM. They speak out of turn, they get knocked off.
Well, you know what? They need to get then step aside and let a true leader emerge.
Right. All right, Scotty, I just had to call you, man. And,
all right.
And, you know, just chime in about these immigrants. We better put the oxygen mask on first. Then we can put it on them, but we better worry about what we got, what we're up against, and where we're going, especially with this cat in the White House, because he's doing us in, man. And like Travis said, Travis and Cornel West tried to tell us right from the start.
Yeah, they did.
What was going on. And people called them Uncle Tom.
Haters.
And the other. Yeah. They called them everything in the book. They tried to tell you right from the start what this guy was about, and nobody listened to him.
Right.
So, all right, man.
All right, brother Ralph.
Weekend, Scotty.
All right, peace to you.
Take care.
Okay, I want to move on to a couple of news stories. We got about 15 minutes left. Hillary Clinton, man, I would love to see her perp walk, but I don't think it'll happen. They'll let her turn herself in and treat her in a dignified manner and not cause her any embarrassment and whatnot, but this is starting to heat up. It's starting to look very, very serious, and there is an article called Above the Law, posted on AboveTheLaw.com, and they are saying that this probe is getting very serious. Let me just share a little bit from this article with you. It says in July 2015, the FBI began an extremely serious probe into whether Clinton mishandled classified information when she chose to conduct State Department business on a private server in her home, one of her homes, in violation of federal law. The probe has continually ballooned with the surfacing of new information. In November, for example, the FBI expanded its investigation into whether Clinton and let me minimize this so I can see the entire word. All right, let me see. The probe has continually, November, for example, the FBI expanded its investigation into whether Clinton and her team provided materially false statements to agents during the course of the case. And just yesterday, an anonymous source told Fox that FBI agents are investigating the possible intersection Clinton Foundation donations. Remember, that's what she was running with her daughter and her husband, Bill, and getting all that money donated from some of the countries and Arabs that have some of the worst human rights records on the planet, you know, and getting, man, I don't even know how many hundreds of millions of dollars the Clinton Foundation got from these people. Then, but it says that they're looking at the intersection of those donations to her Clinton Foundation and the dispensation of State Department contracts and whether regular processes were followed to see if there were violation of public corruption laws. So what they're talking about is pay to play. Same thing she did in Haiti. In Haiti. I mean, again, we can keep making freaking excuses for African leaders and black leaders all we want to. Excuses ain't going to get us nowhere. No, we need to push these people aside. But when the earthquake hit Haiti, why in the hell did they bring the Clintons over there? I mean, Clinton ain't no, neither one of them. Bill Clinton, who was put on the official Haitian government recovery effort, whatever they named it, he ain't even a Haitian citizen. So how the heck do, why do you bring in these people, all right, and then have them involved in the affairs, in your internal affairs? And so that's one of the things that was going on, was that Clinton corporate friends were getting contracts to quote-unquote rebuild Haiti. All that money was raised for Haiti in some kind of international fund, or I don't know who was managing that. But, I mean, Haiti still messed up right now. One of them companies that was supposed to be building housing over there, they was something like they only built like 6 apartments or 6 homes. I don't know if it was apartments or homes. And they gotten this big contract. Hillary Clinton's brother is on the board of a gold mining corporation. Again, talking about natural resources. Hillary Clinton's brother, I think his name is Roger or something, I'm not sure. But her brother is on the board of this mining company. Well, guess who they hire to come in and mine that newly found gold deposits of Haiti? A European, I mean, these Europeans. Hillary, connected to Hillary Clinton. This woman has done nothing but sold out to the highest bidder. She ain't no public servant. She is all about serving herself. And I really would really love to see it, her get put in handcuffs, although, again, we ain't going to see it. But this woman needs to be arrested immediately for a number of things. All right, not just the, you know, claim that there was no classified information on the servers. That's what she said, 0, and it's up over to 120. And again, that's why we did the program yesterday, because those emails show why they went in and overthrew Libya and stood by while all those black people was murdered. All right, so it says this comes after a formal complaint that was filed on Friday alleging that the former Secretary of State gave preferential treatment to wealthy campaign donors, running afoul of ethics laws and regulations, which ironically was passed during her husband's tenure. So much for being a woman of the people, but anyone half cognizant knows that that was never the case, since most of us would not consider ourselves dead broke upon leaving the White House. This woman ain't nothing but a phony, a fraud, and she's a war criminal. She's an international war criminal. So I hope that they arrest her, 60 days, whatever. Just arrest her as soon as possible. So you can check that article out. It talks about Espionage Act. It talks about a whole bunch of things that the FBI is looking at in the violation of federal law, destruction of evidence, lying to federal officials, the Espionage Act, just a whole bunch of stuff, man. Now, you got to ask yourself, this woman is a criminal, her and her husband. Long history of criminality, of harming black people all over the world. why in the heck is these black politicians, your elected leaders, right, telling you to vote for Hillary Clinton, endorsing Hillary Clinton? Why are they endorsing Hillary Clinton? What kind of butter biscuits did she promise to them? Well, I'm trying to stay civil with my tongue, but I don't have no good words for these people whatsoever. The process hasn't even played out, and from the jump street before the first Democratic debate, here you are endorsing this woman and then talking about Hillary will get it done for black people. Get what done for black people? Get us locked up? So, that's what I'm saying. I don't feel like we have any leaders, man. We don't have any leaders. And these people that are afraid to die and all that, well, then you don't need to be stepping up in these positions. A true leader who is down for the people ain't afraid to die for his cause. He's not concerned, or she is not concerned, about what they may do to me. I mean, you know, the things that we put out over our airwaves and on this station and the stuff we engage in, you know, I know they've been monitoring me for years. But I stay codified. You know, I stay codified, and I'm sure they trying to figure out a way that they can come shut us down or get me up on some trumped up charges at any time, you know. But that's in the back of my mind, but it's not going to stop me from doing what I feel like the Creator put before me to do as my mission in terms of the area that I work in media. So, I'm tired of hearing these excuses. Damn it, if you don't want to do nothing for black people because you are scared, you scared of white people going to assassinate you or overthrow you, then you know what? You're not a leader. You need to step aside. Because all you doing is bringing more harm upon us and causing confusion about the system of racism, this global system. It's time to push these people out. There needs to be a rebellion, a all-out war, a civil war. And some people want to talk about, you know, well, black people fighting black people. We already fighting each other, damn it. They already killing us. They're already helping the enemy, so, I mean, we already fighting each other. Black cops out there catching as many slaves as these white cops. So, you know, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff, man. That don't translate on real-world battlefield. It ain't about skin color. It's about whose team you on, what army you fighting for. And these Boule, yeah, do go look up Steve Coakley on YouTube. How these people been selling us out for hundreds of years. And we can't change, you know, we can't change our behavior, then we might well just give the heck up, man. We need to give up. Just give up, surrender, throw the white supremacist surrender flag up and say, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to do. To me, just do it. I ain't gonna resist. Stop resisting. Just like the police say, stop resisting. If you're gonna stop resisting, then stop complaining, then, and just accept your position in the world. But that's not me, though. That's not me. But yeah, we got a clean house. We really do. We got a clean house. This has been a problem for hundreds of years, and we haven't adequately addressed this problem, and that's why we keep having these problems with this black misleadership. We can't even get our own house in order. What makes you think we're going to try to, you know, end the global system of racism that's oppressing people all over the world, and we can't even get, as a group, get our own selves in order? So, again, I want to, again, mention, I am oneofthemillion.com. Become one of the million black conscious voters and contributors. And you could sign up by going to that website, become part of that movement. Because we got all these black politicians, but we don't got no black political power. And that dynamic has to be changed, because politics controls every area of the nine areas of people activity that needed fuller names. Politics controls law. Because politicians write law, pass law, legislate law. Politics control religion. You know, politics control sex. Politics can, hey, legislate all these laws governing all this activity. Economics, the education, even entertainment, labor, law, religion, sex, and war. All of that is run through politics. The agenda, the policies for every people activity area is done through politics. And until we master that people activity area, then, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't fight on the other in the other areas, let's call them battlefronts. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we really do need to be focusing a lot more on politics. Because that's how everything gets done. They legislated slavery. Okay? They didn't just start doing it. They legislated. The king gave an edict to tell, you know, who could be enslaved and who couldn't be enslaved. All of that politics. So, anyway, let me see if there are some other stories. Again, if you want to check out the story about what's going on, the turmoil in Ethiopia, got the Ethiopian government killing his own citizens. All right, go check that out. Politics. Tamir Rice case highlights why all elections, even primaries, matter. And they were just talking about how the attorney who's represented Tamir Rice's family actually ran to be prosecutor. And that if he only had, I think it was something like 21,183 more votes in the primary, that he would have got the Democratic nomination and he would be the prosecutor. Now, that don't mean, though, that he would have been practicing justice. Who's to know? But we know that Tim McGinty had a long record in history of mistreating black people and being a racist. But, you know, people didn't think it was important to turn out to vote in that local election, in that local primary, and get at least one of their people in that correctly identified the problems. No, you stay home, and so now you got a white supremacist in the prosecutor's office, and look at what he's doing. Clearing the killing, you know, clearing these people for killing a black child. What did you expect? And guess what? He was endorsed too by black people in Cleveland. That's a very interesting article. You should check it out. It does break down the details on how politics work on a local level. Let me see. Tamir Rice protester says Cleveland police officer threatened her at the demonstration. So they are investigating this Cleveland police officer who threatened this woman, tried to hit her with a car. This woman by the name of, Alana Bell, 25 years old, said Officer Brian Doran nearly struck her with his cruiser and threatened her on December the 29th while she was directing a protest in downtown Cleveland. She also said Doran, a 29-year veteran officer, grabbed her and manhandled her at another demonstration the next day. So apparently this dude is under investigation, and I would say, you know, the pigs investigating the pigs. I wonder what the outcome gonna be. All right, I don't expect anything different to happen, so he'll probably get cleared too. So those are some stories that you can find on our Facebook page, BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. To our donors, we've been getting some new donors for 2016. But even the people who donated in 2015, I am just about finished with the reports. That's what I'm getting ready to get off air and work on. I already got the station report done, but now I'm working on a spreadsheet to show our reach for the month of December on social media, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, or our YouTube channels and whatnot, because we are reaching a lot of people with our brand of propaganda. So I just want to let people know that those reports, they're late, but I will get them out I anticipate within the next 24 to 48 hours. All right, so I'm bringing this broadcast to an end. I want to thank our guest for joining us today, Ms. Johnson, and who has this documentary, Days of Hope, which is about the African immigrant migration into Europe, because Africa being destabilized. Hell, look at what they just did to Libya again, man. Wow. People, it's not hard to figure out why these people flee in their homelands, all right? It ain't cause they want to. It ain't cause the grass is, they think the grass is greener, but a lot of times it's not. As she was talking about there in Denmark, you know, all the women that's being forced into prostitution and the people sleeping on the streets and stuff like that. And wow, you know, it's pretty bad all over the world, man. It's pretty bad. And there are people that are responsible for all of it. So I want to thank Ms. Johnson for her documentary, Days of Hope, which will be airing on January the 18th on the World Channel. Again, this is part of the Afropop TV series, The Ultimate Cultural Exchange. And this is season number 8. So thank you, Ms. Johnson, and everybody who made that interview happen. Thank you, Brother Ralph, for calling in and sharing your views on this immigration situation and global white supremacy, and that these people have names. Yes, they do. You know, because that is being kind of vague. Who are the white supremacists? If you don't know what the Bilderberger group is, if you don't know what the Federal Reserve is really about, if you don't know, you know, some of these families that are, you know, have a long history, long ancestral line of being part of families that have been part of racist oppression all across this planet. So, you know, we had to start naming names. I agree with Brother Ralph on that. You know, we can't be saying, you know, a white supremacist. I mean, that's like a boogeyman. That's like a, you know, who are these people? They got flesh and blood. Hillary Clinton's one of them. She's one. She ain't even at the top of the food chain or the top of the pyramid. But she's one of them. That's why I don't think that they'll be too harsh in penalizing her. She might have to pay a fine or something like that. She ain't going to prison. They ain't even going to charge her with the assassination of Gaddafi, that conspiracy she participated in. Even though we got all the evidence, and it is against U.S. law for any agency, that includes the Secretary of State, to participate in the assassination of sitting leaders. These people have names, man. They do. They got names. We need to name them, point them out. All right, so recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. This battlefield America out there, casualties being created every day. In order to decrease the likelihood that you'll become a casualty, you need to develop battlefield awareness. That's just being aware of where you are, man, and what you're doing, and whether or not what you're doing is going to bring any attention to yourself or open up a window for the enslavers to catch you. You know, things like speeding down the road, driving recklessly, drunk driving, smoking weed in the car. That's just stupid stuff, man. Become battlefield aware of what is awaiting you out there before you engage in those sort of things. So develop codification, a codification that tell you don't drink and drive. Don't get high and be out there driving and got drugs all in the car, drug paraphernalia, laying all those blunt wrappers on the floor. Man, come on, man. You giving them probable cause to make you a slave. So, you know, there's a number of things we could do to decrease the likelihood that we'll become a modern day slave or a casualty laid out dead on the pavement. So, I'll be back on air Sunday, I believe Sunday night. Yeah, Sunday night with an episode of Political Prisoner Radio at 9 o'clock. At 6 o'clock today, though, Tando Radio Show is coming on. And I believe tonight at 9 o'clock should be an episode of Race Treaty. And then that'll be followed at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time by The Lotus Place. All right, so we've got some more live programming scheduled for you today. With that said, Peace and blessings to all y'all. Be safe out there over this weekend.
Lyndon Johnson, he can always raise an argument about law and order because he never talks about justice. But black people fall for that same argument and they go around talking about lawbreakers. We did not make the laws in this country. We are neither morally nor legally confined to those laws. Those laws that keep them up keep us down. You got to begin to understand that. For 400 years, she taught you white nationalism and you lapped it up. You taught it to your children. You had your children thinking that everything black was bad. Black cows don't give good milk. Black hens don't lay eggs. Black for funerals, white for weddings. That's white nationalism. Santa Claus. A white honky who slides down a black chimney and comes out white. We tend to equate progress with concessions. We can no longer make that mistake. You see, when they gave us that nigger astronaut, you say we were making progress, but I told you they were going to lose him in space. He didn't get that far. You put Adam Clayton Powell in office and you couldn't keep him. What you think they're going to do with Thurgood Marshall when they get tired of him? They gave you Walter Washington of Washington, D.C., and you said we were making progress. That's not progress. See, it's no in between. You're either free or you're a slave. There's no such thing as second-class citizenship.